The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Monday, July 22nd, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you back in the studio. Yes, we are back in Auburn. Yes, made it back from Dallas, Texas, from SEC Media Days a week ago. And man, I'll tell you what, it feels good to be back home. It felt good to sleep in my bed for a few days. And I'll tell you what, that is all I did this weekend was sleep and catch up. I mean, look, Saturday was a snow. It was yesterday. I slept till like 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Something dumb. I mean, I never do that. I'm an adult. I don't sleep that late. But it happened yesterday, man. After a long trip, a very successful trip, but a long drive back as well. Great to be back in Auburn. Great to be back in the studio. And across from me, as he is every Monday and Friday, it's your favorite uncle, Uncle T-Bone. What's up, man? It's great to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, my man. And listened to you last week and listened to Doug. And Dan, it sounded like y'all are just having a tremendous time on the Max Roundtable, on the line, and the drive. A lot happening out there in Dallas. Ooh, a little bit bigger yeah. Show with the Horns and the Sooners coming to town in the SEC as well. Interesting takes, interesting questions. I think I got a little bit better feeling about what's possibly going to happen after SEC Media Days this upcoming football season in the SEC. Is it 40 days to go?
Is that right? 40 days until Auburn. I mean, we're sooner than that from week zero with Florida State, Georgia Tech over in Ireland.
We might as well just say it. Football season started.
Oh, it's here.
I mean, summer practice is right around the corner. We got Big Cat weekend this weekend, which – you know, last year was huge, and then all of a sudden football season was here right after that. There is a lot going on. We can talk a little bit about the Open Championship also. Look at Xander.
Our boy Xander, yes.
Since I called him out for being the best golfer who's never won a major, he's won two. That's the power of Uncle T fading on you.
Oh,
so he was like, I can't have that in my life. I can't have that stress. I'm going to go out and not get me one, but get me two. Good for the American golfers this year, sweeping all the majors the first time, I believe, since 1980. There's a lot going on, Jacob. Give us a call at 334-321-1390 here at On the Line, the show that tells it like it is.
And holds nothing back, which we fully plan on doing once again today. We'll do a little recap on SEC Media Days, get into the media, how we picked the SEC to finish this season, and get into that a little bit. We will do our best and worst from the weekend. It's been a while since we've done that, so I would love to get back into that. We'll talk a little Open Championship, some Olympic basketball. The Olympics are coming up as well. That's right around the corner too, Uncle T-Bone. So excited for that to be coming your way. Also, the dead period for recruiting ends on Wednesday. He mentioned that Big Cat weekend coming up this weekend. It's going to be a big one. We'll talk about that as well. And then a special announcement again. It's still good news, I promise. We're only bringing you good news on this show. We got something fun coming for you in hour number two that's going to carry all football season long. And so be sure you stick with us through the second hour of today's show. He mentioned it and I will as well. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us. Call in, be a part of the show, and be on the line. 334-321-1390. You can also call in or text in as well. 334-784-1067 in the On the Line text box. SEC Media Days was a hit last week, folks, and I appreciate everybody that tuned in from 11 a.m. all the way to 6 p.m. Man, nobody did it like we did. We said it all last week. We cross-promoted. We plugged it. We shared it. I mean, we sent it everywhere that we possibly could with our coverage from Dallas at SEC Media Days. And Look, I know a lot of people that are there, and I don't know any other station that has 7 straight hours of coverage from Radio Row, and got to hear from all the coaches, got to hear from a lot of the players. On our show in particular, had Alyssa Lang on the show, had Chris Doering on the show, had all sorts of people, had Ty Richardson from Arkansas, had an LSU guy, had Texas A&M on the show. I mean, it was phenomenal. Oklahoma, met a new Oklahoma buddy now. I mean, we got all sorts of people on this program last week. And so if you did miss any of that and you want to go back and catch up on SEC Media Days coverage from last week, you can check out our podcast at ESPNAU.com. But overall, I think Auburn had a successful week, Uncle T-Bone. It's SEC Media Days has become one of those events where it's hard to get just groundbreaking, hardcore information nowadays because these coaches and the players are so well trained in what they say, but it's still valuable to hear them and listen to them and see them take the main stage and hop on all these different radio programs when they are representing their team. It's the one big day where everybody's focused on that particular team, and I think Auburn had a really good day with Hugh Freeze and then alongside Peyton Thorne, Eugene Asante, and Keldrick Falk.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome to hear what everybody had to say. Auburn took some great representatives out there. I didn't feel like there was anything just too monumentally breaking. I love Daryl Dafferty's question to both Lane Kiffin and Kirby Smart. One coach handled it very well, and I thought one coach did not. I was a little disappointed that Kirby Smart didn't get pinned down more on what's going on with all the traffic stops over there and traffic violations and issues. And I thought it was a little disingenuous of Kirby Smart to come out and talk about how they've suspended players. And that was – and I was like, who have y'all suspended? It wasn't the ETN kid, you know, from Florida, who was also charged with a DUI, right, coach? I mean, why didn't somebody say, hey, coach, what about ETN? Is he going to be suspended for that opener against Clemson? Mm-hmm. No, that's not happening, is it? It's some third-string punter that probably got kicked off the team over there in Athens. So I did not think that Kirby repped very well over there in the SEC media days. I was pretty pleased with Lane Kiffin coming out and saying, you know, saying without saying I had some hard feelings about Auburn and maybe how that job search went and I didn't get that job or whatever happened. And so I've kind of been picking on him a little bit on social media. And then Hugh Freeze stepping up and sending him condolences about his father, Monty Kiffin, passing away. It's always best to go ahead and just kind of bury a hatchet.
Sure.
These coaches all know each other very well. They're all under a tremendous amount of stress. They're all getting paid mightily. But, you know, they all – it's a fraternity. And I liked hearing our coach reaching out and showing some condolences to another coach and rival over in an SEC school. Other than that, I thought Kalen DeBoer did very well,
yeah,
you know, in his first SEC media days. And speaking of old Alabama coaches, I thought Nick Saban stole the show basically on television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's such a dynamic personality. Was very impressed with his comments on the SEC media days – on the SEC channel, excuse me, the network. And I also was very impressed with some of his dry sense of humor,
yeah,
which kind of made me chuckle a little bit. I hope to see all of that this season and continue to see him educating us, you know, football fanatics out there on some of the finer points of college football. And as long as he's not going Old Testament on us on the woes of the world and all the problems in college football, I'll be tuning in to Nick every weekend.
Well, I think I said this during our coverage last week, but I saw Nick Saban. Well, I was going to say Nick, but that doesn't feel right. That feels disrespectful just to say, yeah, I saw Nick, saw St.
Nick. I saw
Nick. That just feels disrespectful. I saw Saban walking around the hotel at the Omni there a few times, and there was one night in particular where he was coming back probably from dinner or whatever, and I was standing down in the lobby of the hotel just chatting up with a few guys, and Saban was walking through and stopped and was talking with a couple of SEC Network guys, and he was just kind of there. He was there and relaxed and smiling and talking, shaking hands, doing the whole thing. It took like 15 minutes for a fan to find and recognize him and to see that he was there. Then, of course, they all started flooding in, and that's when I dipped out. But it was just weird to see how the aura that he used to carry as the head coach of Alabama, Nick Saban, just wasn't all there anymore. And he just seemed a lot more relaxed and at peace and was having a little fun. I mean, how many times did you see that man smile last week? More than I've ever seen in the last 15 years that he coached a football team, 15 plus. I mean, he was having a good time. And you said it. He had a he had some humor. He had some funny remarks. And a couple of the coaches on the main podium, because the SEC Network stage was in the same room, they had nice things to say about Saban. They'd point back to him, and he, you know, he'd kind of nod and acknowledge it or whatever. But yeah, I thought he was a good addition to the coverage last week.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a coach in particular right now in the league that, you know, really gets under his skin, like say for example Jimbo Fisher did the last couple of years. For everything I know or have heard or understood about most of the coaches in the league, get, you know, off the field, get along great with Coach Saban, play golf with him, hang out with him. You know, I think it's important when you see people like that in a public setting doing their thing, that you understand that. And even these coaches as well, they put their pants on one leg at a time too. I mean, they're human also. They have the same stressors that we have to an extent. They have families. They have, you know, work obligations. They have, you know, X, Y, and Z. So, you know, they're human too. And the amount of pressure to be the Alabama head football coach, there's no job, I don't think, like it in college football pressure-wise. Maybe Ohio State, maybe Georgia getting to that point with Kirby Smart. You know, it's a tough gig. You get paid great for it, but you're putting in, you know, the 14, 15 hour days, and he did it from 07 until last year. I mean, that's a lot of hours.
Yeah.
365, 247, no break, be the best, win championships or die.
It's championship or bust.
And that takes a huge toll on someone, and just as probably be able to see him now compared to last year. It would have been interesting. Did you see him last year in person at SEC Media Days? What did he look like last year compared to this year?
I mean, he looked like the tail end of his years. I mean, he just he looked like every other coach. Yeah, it's just worn down. I'm not going to say old, but just looks worn down, stressed, tired. Yeah, I mean, it's exhausting. I mean, what other program, and I know this is an Auburn station, but we talk about Alabama quite a bit. What other program in college football legitimately is national championship or bust? Ohio State tries to be, but they're not. They've given Ryan Day plenty of chances. They've had other coaches in the past that didn't win national championships and whatever. I mean, Clemson wasn't that way until Dabo showed up. I mean,
and you've seen the stressors on him.
Yeah.
And how he's handled fans. For example, Tyler from Spartanburg last year on his radio show called in and basically said, "Why aren't we winning more?" And he lost it.
Yeah, well, I mean, went off. I mean, just went ballistic.
Went crazy.
Yeah, so what other program is legitimately like that? I think Alabama's the only one because Nick Saban brought it back to that. I think I wasn't
good
around then, but I think Bear Bryant had that way back when. They went through a lull where they didn't have that because they couldn't find the guy to bring it back, but then Nick Saban did. And so you think about Kalen DeBoer stepping in there at Alabama. Yeah, it's championship or bust, and he's the guy that I've said for years is the poor soul that has to step in after Nick Saban. But if there is a guy to do it, I think Kalen DeBoer is a pretty good choice.
You know, who else would you have chosen?
I mean, your options are
legitimately
limited.
Yeah. Right? That would have been up for that challenge or earned the right for that challenge.
I think that's a better way to put it.
And,
yeah.
You know, I'm with you. And so it's like good to see, you know, Saban's one of those guys like Steve Spurrier for me when I first saw him come on the scene that I couldn't stand and I hated. And by the end of their run, I was sad to see him go because of the respect I have for him. So good to see him relaxed and fun and having a good time and smiling because ultimately football should be fun. And, you know, covering football should be fun and being on shows should be fun and talking about it should be fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And some other coaches that were there last week, Saban, of course, is SEC Network now, but coaches that spoke last week that I think are sort of or very much so on the hot seat, right? There's a couple of them that were there a week ago that they've got to win and they got to win right now. I think Clark Lee at Vanderbilt is getting there. I think it's not fair, but I think that's where they are with Vanderbilt right now. And look, credit to him, man. When you listen to Clark Lee speak, he's going to tell you that his team is fantastic. And if you didn't know any better, you'd think they were a pretty good team. And you'd think that they'd be making a playoff, but the way he speaks, which I appreciate that. I know people make fun of it. And they, when he took the podium for the first time as the head coach of Vanderbilt, he says, our goal is to win the SEC and to make it. Like, you have to think that way. I mean, you have to be like, nobody wants a coach to step into Vanderbilt and say, yeah, you know, Our win total is 2.5. If we can beat that, we're going to be good. Like, do you really want that representing your program? Yeah, you may have to limit your expectations a little bit, but I think he's sort of on the hot seat. I think Sam Pittman at Arkansas is on the hot seat, and I hate that because Sam Pittman is an awesome guy. I mean, listening to Sam Pittman speak is such a joy. I was sitting with some folks on Thursday when he spoke before Hugh Freeze did. Pittman opened up on Thursday, and man, he's just a fun dude. He's a guy that you just would go and have a cold snack with, somebody that you want to sit next to and just have a conversation with. And whether he gets it done this year at Arkansas or not, I don't know. My guess is probably not. My guess is with the schedule, with the talent, I think Arkansas is going to struggle this year, and Sam Pittman will probably be on his way out. I hope it's a guy Auburn could find a spot for. I think that'd be fantastic for him to be an offensive line coach or something like that, or any other SEC team would be lucky to have him. But I look at him.
Well, I mean, heck, he was at, you know, University of Georgia as their offensive line coach with Kirby Smart.
He's a genius.
When they started getting rolling and getting into the national championships game. So, yeah, he would be an asset to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Other coaches that were there last week, do you have any in mind that you think are just on the hot seat? What about Stoops at Kentucky? This is such a weird conversation because – A, nobody knows what Kentucky's going to be this year. They're one of the biggest wild cards in the entire conference. And he's been there so long, right? His name has floated around a couple of times for other jobs. But he's just been real comfortable in Lexington for a long time. But the first thing that always comes out of people's mouths when you start talking about Kentucky letting Stoops go is, okay, if you do let him go, who else are you going to get? Who's going to be better than what Stoops has done at Kentucky during his time, right? That seems to always be one of the first things people say, and I'm right there with him because I think he's a really good coach.
I think he's a good coach. Kentucky's a tough place to win big. Obviously one of those teams that never went to the SEC championship in Atlanta. I don't think they're going to go back, have any shot at going this year. That's a could be a sneaky good team, though. 6 returning starters on offense, 9 on defense.
Boom.
I don't think that Auburn just rolling up into the bluegrass state, the Commonwealth of Kentucky, is a dead set W.
No.
That's going to be a cat fight, no pun intended. To me, it's a 50-50 game. You're on the road. You're on the SEC. You'll be coming back from a road trip that next week to Missouri, especially if you could go up there and upset Missouri. Then you're looking at the classic letdown game. He's a great coach. I don't think there's any kind of hot seat for him. And I think Kentucky fans are pretty, you know, okay with him, you know, pushing them towards about 10 wins a season at best. And listen, if cards fall right, you know, one season and there's some, I don't know, some crazy things happen in the SEC and he wins 10 games, he could ease into that college football playoff.
Yeah.
And so that makes it a little bit more tolerable to be just above average if you're Kentucky. But what do you expect? I mean, I don't even know if this is a team that's ever won the national championship. And in my lifetime, I know they haven't won an SEC championship.
Well, that's a good point, the fact that it is technically easier now to make postseason games. And look, if you're a Kentucky program and you have a lot of good years followed up by one great year every 5 years, I mean, shoot, that's all they could ask for. That's all they want. I mean, Kentucky to be that third or fourth, possibly even fifth team that makes the college football playoff out of the SEC. I mean, what more could you ask for if you're Stoops at Kentucky and any of those Wildcat fans? So,
you know, when we ranked quarterbacks, I had Vandergriff right there at the almost complete bottom.
Yeah, you had a lot of disrespect.
I do. And I mean, I understand it's, you know, it's hard to break through at Georgia, but the guy's barely played any meaningful snaps in college football, and then you're just going to turn him loose in the SEC. And I mean, to me, that's going to be almost like a Peyton Thorne situation, although Peyton Thorne had way more meaningful snaps than Vandergriff has had, right? I mean, he gets there late, barely goes through a spring. You got a summer practice. Boom, you're in the heat of things. Auburn catches catches Kentucky at a beneficial time, though, sandwiched in between a trip to at Florida, at Tennessee, two traditional rivals there. So that could be beneficial for the Tigers. But, yeah, I mean, Kentucky's a good, solid program. You know,
Just judging Vandegrift because he played at Georgia. Don't even lie to the people.
I mean, what is he
Don't
done?
Lie to the people.
What has the guy ever done other than hold a clipboard in Athens, you know, and probably get speeding tickets like everybody else over there?
And with that, we'll go to break. 334-321-1390. Give us a call. Best and worst from the weekend in sports. That's coming up next here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Well, we went a little long in the first segment, but that's okay. It's been a whole week since you and I have been together in the studio, so we had a lot to get through there, Uncle T-Bone. But as we have a few minutes before our bottom of the hour break, let's go ahead and get into this. We may have to pick up on this later in the show as well. But best and worst in sports this weekend. And we want to hear from you. Text us that, 334-784-1067. What's the best thing you saw in sports this weekend and the worst thing that you saw in sports this weekend? And I'm going to start with the worst thing that I saw.
Okay.
It's the fact that, and a lot of people are talking about this, the fact that the United States of America, who has the best basketball players in the entire world, had to fight, scratch, claw, cheat, I don't know, do whatever they had to do to beat Sudan in a basketball game. Now, let me say this. That team had some talent on there.
It sure did.
That has some dudes on that team now.
Is it Sudan or South Sudan?
I think it was, I don't know. Is it just Sudan or
I think
I don't
it's
know.
South Sudan.
South Sudan?
I mean, does that make it even worse?
I don't know. But here's what's cool about it. Is the fact that there was a guy on that team that almost won the game for them and almost single-handedly beat the United States.
Sure.
And it's a guy by the name of JT Thor.
I loved him at Auburn.
One that Auburn fans know very well. A guy that, oh, he needed an extra year at
he
Auburn.
He really did,
he needed
man.
An extra
and he
year.
He just come back that extra year, I'm telling you.
He would have been nasty.
I was with you. He that guy could flat out play.
He hit that three in the corner, and I mean buried it, and I thought the United States was done. Of course, then they give it to their workhorse, LeBron James, and he goes down and gets it done for him. Which, look, I'm not cheering against the United States, but I was cheering for JT Thor because that was awesome.
Well, that's the days. It's a far cry from when Charles Barkley was, you know, shoving Ethiopians in the back and getting technical fouls and telling them to go eat hamburgers while they're up by 75.
I mean, in that or even the Redeem team when you had Kobe Bryant running through and just plowing through Pau Gasol in the game against Spain back in 08. I mean, you've had so many historical national teams for the United States, and there's a lot of good players on this year's team, but man, you can't be struggling against teams like this. We're not even to the Olympics yet, and they're almost losing against teams like South Sudan. Worst thing I saw this weekend.
JT Thor went for 14 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block in only 18 minutes of play. War Eagle to you, JT Thor, way to represent Auburn. Some guy named Mariel Shayok went for 24. Don't y'all think y'all could have put like the worm on him and shut him down or something and played a little defense?
I mean, you're playing with LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry. I mean, you're playing with the dudes from the NBA, and yet you almost slip up. And on top of that, this is not good or bad or whatever, but news with this as well. The Olympics and USA Basketball announced that LeBron James is going to be the flag, is it, carrier bearer? What's the
flag bearer?
Flag bearer, yeah. The guy carrying the flag.
They have one male and one female athlete carrying the country flag for whatever country as the teams enter into Olympic Stadium.
In the opening ceremonies.
LeBron will be the male flag bearer, and they have not yet announced the female flag bearer. I think they do that tomorrow.
Okay. Well, that is the in terms of them almost losing that game, that's the worst thing that I saw this week. And you got one real quick? Best or worst?
I mean, the continued legal battles of the ACC, we're seeing a conference just torn apart. ACC Media Days article, Jim Phillips laments damaging and disruptive legal disputes with Florida State and Clemson. Hey, bro, let me clue you in on some breaking news. Florida State and Clemson are going to leave your conference. okay? And they're probably not going to go to the SEC because they've got a brain. They're probably going to go to the Big 12 is the rumor now. And then the SEC will sneak in and gobble up Virginia and North Carolina and, heck, maybe Duke and North Carolina State and just be all the way up the East Coast now and own college football in the South.
Yeah, Greg Sankey had a lot to say about that in his opening remarks a week ago at SEC Media Days, and ACC Media Days kicked off today. The ACC commissioner took the podium around 12, I think, and had some things to say about that. So we'll pick back up with that later on in the show. I'll give you my best. You've got your best as well. We got a lot of things in the best things that happen over in sports this weekend, but we need to talk about where the media picked all the SEC teams to finish in the upcoming season, including Auburn, and the disrespect they continue to get. We'll have that coming up next here on ESPN.
Gotta earn respect, Jacob.
ESPN 106.7.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Halfway through hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz. We continue on as we are diving into what the media had to say last week about where they believe the SEC will finish. Their predicted order of finish. We do it every year. I am a part of it. I send in my ballots with, along with all the players, first team, second team, all that good stuff. And look, I want to start out by saying this. All right. We as media, and I say we, I've been there a few years now.
Yeah, man, you're legit media.
Historically, we are incorrect a lot on this in particular. I mean, I forget what the actual number is. It's like the SEC media at Media Days has been correct about this. I want to say like 7 out of the 20 something times that they've done this. Like, it's not, the number is not good. Like, our track record's bad. All right. So just keep that in mind. But I think it's something to consider here, and it's something we need to talk about because there are a couple of teams that I believe are getting hyped up that don't, not necessarily don't deserve it, but won't be that high at the end. And then there's some teams that are just not being a little slept on, in my opinion. And so, let me read it to you. And again, we want to hear from you. You can call in 334-321-1390, or you can text us at 334-784-1067. Here's what the media last week at SEC Media Days, here's how they predicted in the order of finish. All right, from bottom to top, Vanderbilt at 16, Mississippi State, Arkansas, South Carolina, Florida at 12, Kentucky, Auburn, Texas A&M, Oklahoma at 8, Tennessee, Missouri, and then your top five is LSU at 5, Ole Miss at 4, Bama at 3, Texas 2, and Georgia at 1. Now, I think most people agree that Georgia is the top team. I think just about everybody has them. I know you don't in your preseason rankings, but that's because of them being a champion, right, and waiting for them to get knocked off of that pedestal.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a silly little rule of mine. Until the national champion's knocked off, they're still the they're national champion.
Sure.
So they're number one. That's the way I see it.
But in the SEC, I mean, I think everybody pretty much consensus has Georgia 1, Texas 2. That seems to be the pretty agreed upon thing.
Georgia 1, Texas 2, Alabama 3. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a few folks that probably have Alabama interchanged between Texas, but I really don't think that – was there any SEC members that voted Alabama 1?
They got 12 first-place votes.
How about that? Okay.
Ole Miss had 4, LSU had 2, Texas had 27, Georgia had 165.
Wow.
I mean, that's... Or their points. That's their points. I don't know if that's the actual votes or whatever.
Georgia would, if it wasn't for my rule that the defending national champion is number one in my national rankings until they are knocked off, Georgia would easily be number one in my poll, followed by Ohio State nationally. But in the SEC, those top four, I believe in Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, Missouri.
Well, SEC media has LSU at 5.
I don't agree with that.
I like it. I may not agree with it, but I like it. Because if you're going off of a year ago, Missouri deserves more hype going into this season. Now, if you are talking about how the season's going to end, which some people think that's how a preseason poll works, I don't agree with that. I think a poll preseason should be what you believe it is right now in the preseason. Uh-huh. Right? You're not trying to predict what it's going to be at the end.
Right.
In my opinion, a preseason. And look, we want to hear what you guys think.
Whoever fills out a ballot, it's their ballot, and they can do it however they like. And when you put it all together with everyone else's ballots, however they're doing all that they like, it normally works out pretty much how it should work out, right?
Sure. I just believe, though, when you're putting together a preseason top 20, 25, or 1 through 16, whatever the case may be, it's what you think of it right now. Now, this in particular, though, I do want to make this clear. This is a predicted order of finish. So this is a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
So this SEC media poll is a little bit different than just a preseason top 25. Those are two separate things.
Okay.
And so with this, the media and
SEC, that is definitely different.
They believe that it'll be Georgia and Texas in the SEC championship game. They also believe that probably Alabama and Ole Miss would make the college football playoff, and LSU and Missouri would be on the outside looking in.
All right. I don't have a problem with them saying that those are the top four teams to end the season by any means. I mean, in any predicted order of finish, just about anyone with any sense would have that or relatively close to it. My problem with having LSU there is Ole Miss and them will square off, and that one game will definitely be a big differential in their order of finish. And I seriously – they're saying probably Ole Miss beats LSU. If Ole Miss beats LSU, LSU is going to have more losses on their schedule than just that one. And that's going to push them way down.
Yeah.
I don't see how anyone can rationalize having those two together right there as Gemini twins.
You think they need to have a little bit more separation?
Absolutely. If you want to put LSU up there, that's fine. That means you're gambling on at home, Ole Miss coming down to a Tiger Stadium, Ole Miss coming down to Death Valley, most likely a night game. They'll have the white jerseys on, and the Magic will be back, and the gumbo will be cooking, and so will LSU, and they'll kick the Rebels' butts like they normally do.
They are celebrating 100 years of Tiger Stadium that night, by the way.
That's going to be wild as the Taliban, folks.
Is that a guaranteed LSU win?
So
night game and Tiger
and
Stadium on the 100-year anniversary.
There's my problem with it. If LSU beats Ole Miss, I also think Ole Miss will have some bigger problems because their schedule is so cake.
That's
they should
the thing.
Roll through it. So, I mean, I could see where they're getting a little bit of love just on their schedule, but so is Missouri's.
Oh, Missouri's is ridiculous.
It might be easier than Ole Miss schedule.
I'm going to make a statement right now. I'm going to make a statement, and I hope it ends up being true, and it may be tough to judge this by the
is
time
this
the season
JG
comes.
Is this a guarantee, the
absolutely
first of football season? Here we go.
Not.
Let me write this
down.
JG guarantee number one.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, this is just a statement.
No, this is just a statement. This ain't a JG guarantee. I don't have enough confidence on that just yet.
Okay.
But I believe that if there's a way for us to break it down at the end of the year, I think LSU will be a better football team than Ole Miss and Missouri. But their record won't show it. Because LSU's football schedule, reminder, they open up with USC. Their first SEC game is week 3 at South Carolina. They play UCLA at the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
They also have Ole Miss on that schedule at A&M. They do play Alabama. They're at Florida. And they end the year with Oklahoma. You compare that to the cakewalk schedules that Ole Miss and Missouri have, I think those two teams could have better records than LSU, but I think LSU will be a better football team.
When we compared schedules in the SEC from easiest to hardest back on June 19th, 2024, yes, I'm keeping notes, folks. I'm keeping receipts up here in this little book I've got. I had Missouri at 16th. The easiest schedule in the league, and Ole Miss at 15. I had LSU down there at 9. Now, for reference, I had Auburn at 10, and we're saying this is one of the more manageable schedules that Auburn has ever had in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
So LSU's schedule, although it's tougher than those two, is manageable.
It is.
So I see what you're saying, and they're catching, I believe, Alabama at home. Mm-hmm. They're catching Ole Miss at home. Oklahoma at home to end the season. Those Sooners are going to get bushwhacked down there in the bayou to end the season. That'll be must-watch television. Welcome to the SEC. But, you know, they're going to A&M, who I think is still getting way too much love. Still getting way too much love and respect. So I can see what you're saying. I could see LSU getting it together with the schedule. You know, if they can get through that first month with the two teams from California on their schedule, mm-hmm. and Nussmeier can kind of settle in at quarterback, this is going to be a team with a ton of talent. Although they lost a lot of talent, especially on the offense, that is going to improve defensively, which was horrible last year.
Yes, it was.
So if they just improved a little bit last year, they could have been pushing to get into the top five and close to the college football playoffs. I mean, they had some good teams on the ropes, but just let it slip away because their defense was so putrid.
Yeah.
So they're going to improve defensively. They're going to have some talent. You know, what can you say about Louisiana State University football? They're going to always have gumbo at the tailgates. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be some old crotchety lady trying to fight you pre and post game while she's burning a cig and blow it in your face. And they're going to have plenty of talent. Yeah. So I'm seeing what you're saying. I like LSU here, but, you know, I'm going to have to see a little bit more before I'm going to jump on that bandwagon.
Well, LSU should be 5-0 when Ole Miss comes to town if they handle business. And Ole Miss will be, let's see, 2-4. They're going to be 6-0 because LSU is going to have mm-hmm. a bye week squeezed in there too. Is that before Ole Miss comes to town? It is. LSU is going to be 5-0 with a bye week before Ole Miss comes and plays at Baton Rouge with coming off a game at South Carolina. So, look, I think LSU wins that game. I'll say it right now. You can write that down. Yeah. LSU is going to – you want a JG guarantee?
Here it is, number one.
You want it?
What is today? 7-22.
24.
I should remember this. Today's my anniversary.
Oh, happy Love anniversary.
Yep. 7-22. We're scratching out statement. JG guarantee. Go ahead.
LSU football on Saturday, October 12th, on the 100th anniversary of Tiger Stadium, when the sun goes down and the crazies come out in Baton Rouge.
I love it.
Brian Kelly and LSU are going to beat Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. Book it. They will win that game. LSU.
Lead pipe lock of the city.
LSU wins that game. And they will be 6-0 when they go on the road to Arkansas. They'll win that game. They'll be 7-0 when they go to Kyle Field. They'll probably lose that game. But we don't have to talk about that right now. LSU's going to beat Ole Miss in that game.
Well, I'll tell you what. Like I said, they've got USC on a neutral field. They'll host UCLA. They got some payback for the Bruins. Remember the last time they went out there to L.A. and it was in Orgeron's last season and walking into the stadium. He got into it with some fans about their powder blue bleeping jerseys. And that they look like bleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Edo. And UCLA stomped a mud hole in LSU that night. So they got a funny game after UCLA at home against South Alabama. Then they get the bye, and Ole Miss comes to town. I'm with you. They should be undefeated. They get past the Rebels, and I think they're undefeated until Alabama comes to town November 9th.
Interesting. That would be huge for LSU. Well, again, the SEC has them finishing top five in the league. I think that's very possible. I really do. I think that's very, very possible at the end of this season for LSU. I'll tell you what, Uncle T-Bone. Let's take a break. We'll come back and continue talking about this as we wrap up the hour. All right? We'd love
to hear
from you. 334-321-1390. That's the phone line, or you can send us a text 334-784-1067. Still breaking it all down as we wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up the first hour here on the Monday edition of On the Line as we continue looking at what the SEC media predicted in their order of finish for 2024 in the Southeastern Conference. And again, this is not their preseason top 25. This is our predicted order of finish, okay? This is what we did last week at SEC Media Days. Now, less than 50% submitted their ballots, which is unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that media people went all the way out to Dallas, Texas to cover the SEC, and only 50% of the people put their ballots in?
I don't even think it was 50%.
That's weak.
Yeah.
That's like the American voter.
Ooh.
I mean, although we know most of these national elections are, I'm not going to say that.
Oh, hold on now.
But you're telling me you're in the media and this is your job and this is the fun time, right? And you actually get to have some say-so for once instead of getting barked at like Kirby Smart did, our man Double D, about asking a tough question.
Bark he did.
And you've got your chance to shine here and you're not going to turn your ballot in?
I know. Crazy. I know.
I'm going out there next year and I'm going to get just a massive microphone and backpack and walk around and just ask everyone, have you put your ballot in or not?
I love it. Well, good news is we're back in Atlanta next year. Thank the Lord.
That's good news.
Oh, well, good news for the miles on the company car. I'll tell you that. I like that hour and a half, 2 hour drive a heck of a lot better than I like the 11 hour drive Dan and I made this week. But in it, to get back to the predicted order of finish, okay. All right.
Sorry, I hijacked that box moment. That's ridiculous.
Missouri 6, Tennessee 7, Oklahoma at 8, right there in the middle of the pack. A&M at 9, and Auburn at 10. How do you feel about them saying Auburn is going to finish 10th in the SEC? I don't believe it.
I don't either. I think they'll be a little higher than that. The predicted order of finish part of this also confuses me with Oklahoma. Are you not paying attention to their schedule? It's almost impossible unless they're just really, 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 really good this season for them not to have 4 to 5 losses. And that's nothing against Oklahoma. That's a proud program, and I think they're going to do very well in the SEC, but that schedule they got is awful.
Yeah, it's brutal.
You know, Tennessee, I think that the Vols could either be – this could be a moment where they rise up and show some folks.
Stop.
Or, like they normally do, crash and burn.
Yeah, I ain't buying into it.
So, you know, I got to see more out of their quarterback, the defense – it was just awful last year. They've got a new defensive coordinator in Tim Banks. I don't know if it's going to do them any good. They had like 10 defensive back off their roster transfer out.
Tennessee?
But they brought like 6 or 7 more in. There's some upheaval up there with that defensive side of the ball. The offense, you know, is going to put up a lot of points. But can they stop anything? You know my thoughts on A&M. I think Auburn's better than A&M right now. But really and truly, if you put those four teams in a bag and pulled a couple of them out, they're going to be – two of them are going to be higher and two of them are going to be lower.
I think Auburn finishes above all three of those teams. I think Auburn – and I put this in my poll.
They very well could.
I think Auburn finishes above Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M. Tennessee, just because I don't know what they're going to be. They have, like you said, high ceiling, low floor, in my opinion. But Auburn's going to beat Oklahoma in week 5, and Auburn's going to beat Texas A&M in November, which – by default, in my opinion, would put them above both of those squads.
Well, if they're right up there, you know, around where Tennessee is, that means that they're pushing Missouri, according to this predicted order of finish.
And Auburn plays Missouri.
To jump up there. That's what I'm saying. And that, like we've talked about, that's an early morning game. I believe Missouri will be playing Alabama the next week or coming back from the Alabama game. I'll have to double-check that.
I think they're coming back from
either
Alabama
way, game. They're going to have – they're either way, they could have – a tough loss, they could be bruised up. Maybe they have a big win in Tuscaloosa. That's the classic letdown game. Or if they're playing at Alabama the week after, it's the classic look-ahead game early in the morning. So,
oh, they're at Alabama the week after.
Yeah, so that's the classic look-ahead game scenario, right? You know, the Bloody Marys haven't kicked in yet. You know, it's way too early to start drinking the bourbon on game day.
And have you ever been to Como?
And yeah, no, thank God I've never been to Missouri. And so – but there's first time for anything and everything. So I like Auburn's chances there, and that's a winnable game on the road. If Auburn could somehow slip up and upset Missouri, you better watch out then.
Well, look at 6 through 11 where the SEC media predicted order of finish. Auburn plays all of them except one. Auburn plays Missouri at 6, Oklahoma at 8, Texas A&M at 9, and Kentucky at 11. Like, if Auburn wins those games, which I think they can, maybe all but one, then you're looking at pushing top seven, top six in the SEC.
No, if Auburn wins all five of those games, they're pushing. They're looking at pushing in the top five. And they would miss Ole Miss. They would miss Texas.
Miss LSU.
And have a golden opportunity to do some damage and somehow split Georgia and Alabama. Both of those are on the road, and that's a lot. That's saying a lot. But if they could somehow do that, then all of a sudden they're talking about going to the college football playoff.
Yeah. Looking down towards the bottom real quick, Florida 12, South Carolina 13, Arkansas 14, State 15, Vanderbilt at 16. You could pretty much do the same
thing. Yeah, I can't argue against any of that, although I am starting to warm up a little bit to the fact that I think Florida's going to be better.
I think they're going to be a decent team, but God, that schedule.
But the record, I mean, the schedule is just unbelievable.
And look, I was looking at Graham Mertz's numbers again because Billy Napier was talking about it last week. They're really strong.
I told you when we were ranking quarterbacks, he was very underrated and under the radar last year. Florida's got an opportunity to prove some people wrong. It starts week one with them versus Miami, a team that's getting a lot of love from everybody in everybody's polls this season, a perennial top 20 team across the board from just about everybody. And Mario Cristobal's got a ton to prove, and Billy and Napier does as well. That could be a loser-leave-town match for good.
Wow. I mean, I think there's a lot on it. I really do. I think there's a lot on that week one game. It's going to be must-watch TV, must-listen radio. And think about just how big that game – take everything else out of it. Just the fact that Florida plays Miami. And I asked Billy Napier, because Florida plays Miami, they play UCF, and they play Florida State all in the same season. That's a big schedule for them from the state of Florida.
I'll tell you this, if they'd thrown South Florida in there too, they'd been running the gauntlet, because that team's going to be underrated heading into the season as well.
I mean, Florida's got – they've got a lot to prove, because I think Billy Napier is one of those coaches that is on the hot seat. And
he's on the ultimate hot seat.
Right, you better believe it. No doubt about that. Well, hour number one is in the books. We're talking recruiting when we come back for hour number two. Plus, we've got a surprise for you. It's going to be a lot of fun all football season long. Stick around. Hour number two coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Alongside me in the studio is Uncle T-Bone. If you missed any of hour number one, you know where to find the show. It's uploaded as a podcast each and every day. And you can find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. You can also listen to the show live there every single day if you are not in the Auburn Opelika area. If you're at the office, at the house, it doesn't matter. You can always listen to the show live at ESPNAU.com. In hour number one, we begin recapping SEC Media Days a little bit. Some things that we heard, things we saw, and talked about the trip a little bit, so that was fun. Got into our best and worst of the weekend. We'll get to that here in a little bit as well. We did our worst. I think we got to get to our best in this hour, so we'll have that for you. Also, in that first hour, we were looking at where the SEC media predicted their order of finish for 2024, and we have some more thoughts in terms of our preseason rankings coming up in just a little bit. We'll have that for you, and we're going to start hour number two with a little bit of recruiting since the dead period ends on Wednesday. We're also have Big Cat Weekend coming up this weekend, Uncle T-Bone. It's going to be a big, big time here at Auburn, and I feel like going into this one, there are some mixed feelings on a couple of players just because of guys that are committed elsewhere or thinking about going other places. Like, there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on. But Big Cat Weekend is historically the weekend for Auburn football recruiting.
Yeah, we probably need to just reset all the storylines of the last couple of months, especially on a few key recruits. Still not sure the entire list is out for Big Cat Weekend and who's coming into town this weekend. Listen, you've said it a ton and will continue to, and I believe it as well, not just for Auburn, but for any team out there. Don't get too giddy right now with your recruiting class rankings if you're way up there, and dang sure don't get all depressed if you're way down. A ton, and I mean a lot of things are going to change before the early signing day in December, which is now de facto signing day as far as I'm concerned. So Auburn had a pile of momentum going in the spring, had gotten up and touched or was right around a top five class. Since then, there's been some decommitments. Since then, there's been a few people come back into the fold or recommit and new people commit. Mm-hmm. And look, that's going to go on for the rest of the season and afterwards. That's just how it is now. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot. This is a moving target is what I'm telling you. Don't get too pumped up or don't get too down. I think Auburn will be just fine. Definitely we'll settle right around in the top 10. And if a few things go their way, pressing into the top five at National Signing Day. But this is where whatever you're going to do in recruiting Auburn, I don't want to say pivot. I don't want to say set the foundation because that's already been done, but whatever you're going to do for the rest of the year, it starts this weekend with Big Cat Weekend.
Well, I know there are quite a few of the in-state guys that are going to be here this weekend. Guys that I look at, like Derek Smith from down in Selma, is supposed to be here. And that's the thing, too. Let me say that as well. There are a ton of guys that always say, yeah, I plan on being there for Big Cat Weekend. I plan on making that trip, whether mm-hmm. they're on their unofficial or their official visits or whatever the case may be weeks and months ago, right? A lot of them say it, but you don't truly know until the day arrives, and you don't know who's going to show up, whether that's good or that's bad. I mean, last year, and even the year before, I mean, you've had years where Auburn's had hundreds of guys saying they're coming and then only a few dozen show up. And on the flip side, you've had a few dozen say they were coming, and you've had hundreds show up. It's you've had it go both ways. Jared Smith, I know the Thompson Edge has said he's supposed to be here. Guys like that are, again, planning on being for Big Cat Weekend. And it's that time where Auburn has done such a good job of making it a family atmosphere. That's a family weekend. We talk about it like a recruiting weekend. But it's not really that. It's more of, hey, I want you to come, I want you to bring your dad and your mom and your brothers and your sisters, bring your grandma, whoever you want, right? Bring them here and let's enjoy the weekend. We're going to have a barbecue outside. We're going to have games going on. We're going to have just it's a big gathering is what it is. And it's just, hey, let's sit and talk and let's hang out and let's have some fun together and let's not worry about the stresses of football. And I know you got your high school season coming up, so let's take a weekend and not worry about that right now since you've been going through all these summer workouts
and
things like that.
That's what I like to call a get to know you better type weekend, right? You know, you've come in, you've taken your official visit, you've gone to visit other places, you know, we've really talked, you know, nuts and bolts and majors and your future and where we see you fitting in, and why don't we just all get together and have a barbecue and just kind of hang out and just all chill and really get to know one another and let people know, hey, as coaches, we're human too, and we like to have a good time, and it's not just all business over here at Auburn. It's about family, and you know, do you want to fit in here? You know, you're more than welcome to. Let's see if you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that Auburn recruiting, no matter where it's ranked right now, will be just fine this season. I think it's also very important for Auburn to get off to a really good start this season and prove that everything, the dream, that's been sold to recruits, come rebuild this thing, come make Auburn great again, right? Basically, let's be part of a movement that's going to resurrect a program that's just been in complete Brian Harsin dire straits. So, you know, we got to see some movement on the field this year.
Yeah.
There can't be any New Mexico State type hiccups. There can't be any first year coaching blues. Everyone's going to have to be on the same page. Prove to me, coach, that, you know, you're seamlessly running your program correctly if I'm going to turn over the next 2-3 years of my life as a five-star can't miss prospect to Auburn University as opposed to Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, LSU, where they have been proving it.
And that's such a part, it's such a big part that we talk about quite a bit, but it cannot be overstated. It cannot be overlooked. Like, you can bring in all the talent you want, and you can, well, let me say this, you can recruit all the talent that you want to, okay? You can go after as many guys as you want and come up with quite a bit of money, but at the end of the day, these guys still want to win, they want to compete, and they want to get better, and they're trying to make it to the next level. Now, I'm under the belief that I think there's a bigger group than there's ever been before, and I think it'll continue to grow, of guys that don't care about that stuff as much, and they care about getting to college and getting their paycheck and moving on. But the majority is still on the flip side, where guys want to go to the best programs where they feel that they can improve their game the most and get to the next level in playing professional football. And so Auburn has to do that this year. And look, I think they have a chance. I think they have a prime opportunity to show recruits that they've been going after the last year and a half, almost 2 years now, hey, with a little bit better players and a little bit better roster, look at what we can do, right? Auburn goes out and wins 8 or 9 games this season. You can have that belief, and you have the proof of concept where, all right, year one, yeah, we slipped up. Yeah, we didn't have a good ending, right? We let New Mexico State come to our house and beat us. We let 4th and 31 happen. We let the bowl game be us embarrass ourselves on national television. But with a little bit better talent, we just went out and won 8 games. We went out and won 9 games. We beat Alabama. We won the Iron Bowl. Whatever the case may be, you have that in your back pocket, and recruits will start to believe in that rather than what apparently everybody else around the SEC thinks, that Auburn's going to win 7 games and we should be happy with that. I think that's bogus and absolutely ridiculous. Recruits don't want to see that. They want to see proof of concept, and they want to see if you can win some football games.
I agree with that. I mean, there's a ton of factors more now than ever, which would sway a recruit's decision to go anywhere. Or, in fact, I mean, part of it is you got to, not while you're at Big Cat Weekend recruiting these guys, you got to make sure that you're kind of recruiting the guys on your roster right now. I mean, although I know no one's going to probably transfer out right now, you just don't want any kind of seed put into anyone's mind that maybe this just isn't quite the right fit for me. So you're constantly recruiting new talent. You're constantly recruiting the portal. You're constantly recruiting your own roster. It could be anything from NIL money to, you know, like the good old days, grandmama likes Coach Free, so I'm going to, you know, or grandmama likes Coach Dye, I'm going to Auburn, right? Or something like that. I mean, it could be a major. It could be you not having a major there. It could be anything in today's world. So I'll say this. Anyone who shows up at Big Cat Weekend, and we're not going to get them all, but anyone who shows up at Big Cat Weekend that is not currently committed to Auburn is someone that I truly believe Auburn could sign.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're at Big Cat Weekend, whatever that list is, and we'll get the full blown list by Friday, right? Friday it'll just be so and so came in. There'll be some surprise visitors. Unfortunately, there'll probably be some people that you think are coming, don't.
Yeah.
But if they're at Big Cat Weekend, they are fair game for Auburn to sign.
And I think that goes for it because there's going to be a lot of guys that are already committed to Auburn that are going to be here. Alvin Henderson is one of those guys who will be at Big Cat Weekend, but you can use them to help recruit other guys. That's what's so important about bringing Auburn recruits, their commits there. Like, it's not just, hey, oh, you're already committed, so we're not worried about you. This is only for guys that aren't committed. Like, they bring in a ton of guys that are already committed.
No, you got to continue to recruit those
absolutely
committable people
more now than ever before.
I agree with that. And I think one thing that Auburn's also also finally learned its lesson on after all these years is that you better be recruiting for next year as well. So how many other people are going to be here from 2026 and beyond? It's going to be a heck of a ton of people. This is a good opportunity to go ahead if you can get them here for Big Cat Weekend. I mean, how frustrating was that back in the day, Jacob, when National Signing Day would come around and Alabama folks were just like, the hay's in the barn, we're not even worried about it. And Auburn scrambling to try and finish out a class or fighting for one or two guys. And Nick Saban's already got his stuff on lockdown and he's working the state for next year.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it used to go. It used to be like that for a long time.
So I think that this staff knows the importance on maintaining relationships from a very early period in a recruit's life cycle. And they're already heavy into 2026, just about as heavy as they are into finishing out 2025 with a bang.
Another guy that's supposed to be here this weekend, we'll see if he shows up or not, Zion Grady, the Enterprise Edge, who has been committed to Ohio State for a little bit now, a guy that is a stud, getting word that he's supposed to be on campus this weekend. So he's one of those, again, that I was going to allude to, where you're going to have a lot of Auburn commits on campus. Right. You're going to have a lot of undecideds on campus. But I've seen this said a few times, for any guy that shows up to Big Cat Weekend here on the Plains this upcoming few days, and they're committed to another school, you should feel good about where Auburn stands in that
well,
case.
Well, and if you're the other school, you should feel a little nervous that they're down at Big Cat Weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Former four-star commit Tyler Lockhart from Mississippi, who decommitted about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. Rumors were that he was going to go join his brother at Mississippi State. He'll be here for Big Cat Weekend. So all of a sudden, look, you know, some of these guys that were committed to Auburn, that decommitted and started looking around and poking around, making Auburn's recruiting rankings drop, they're all of a sudden back at Big Cat Weekend. Watch out.
A guy that I don't believe we've talked about on the air since we had SEC Media Days and things like that, Caleb Cunningham, the Mississippi wide receiver that committed to Alabama. I don't think we've had a chance to talk about that on the air just yet. That one hurts. That was one that Auburn was going after for quite some time and felt pretty good that they were going to be able to take him, not just from the state of Mississippi, but from Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Alabama jumped on him late, and they had something for him, and he decided to commit to Alabama. That's been a couple of weeks ago, but again, I don't think we'd had a chance to talk about that.
And I'm sure any Alabama person would be like, he's not looking around, he's not going anywhere. And I'm not saying it's to Auburn, but you can't tell me that the Mississippi schools, especially Ole Miss, with the success that Lane Kiffin's had on offense too, won't be all over him until the end, right? I think it's important for Auburn. I'm not saying to move on from him. I'm not sure he won't be here for Big Cat Weekend. Is that right?
I don't think so.
Well, then pivot to the Smith kid from Selma and get on him and get him locked on and away from Alabama and continue to do what Auburn's doing really well over the last couple of years, but especially this year, and that's kicked some butt in the state of Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, just continue to hammer down.
Auburn must beat Alabama at some point in football if they're going to get back into even considering trying to contend for a national championship. And Alabama is really doing well in recruiting, and they're super happy. But the one thing Auburn's got right now in their recruiting class that Alabama doesn't is that Alabama factor. And it's been from day one that Hugh Freeze wanted to get more competitive in this state recruiting, especially down in southwest Alabama in Mobile and Baldwin counties, where Auburn has struggled for years with Nick Saban. And they're continuing to do that. So I would stay on them. I'd stay on these in-state kids. I'd stay on their parents and say, look, we can offer the NIL money as much as anybody. And you don't, you know, look, if you're looking around going out of state, stay in state, stay here, stay at Auburn, because you can be here in a couple of hours and we'll take care of you.
Before we get to break, I want to remind you that hour number two each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7 is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika. For them to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. We appreciate them bringing you the 3 to 4 o'clock hour each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our first break in this second hour. Come back. We'll give you our best from the weekend. Remind you what we did, you what's the worst from the weekend, but tell you about the best things we saw in sports, and then we've got something fun coming for you at 3:30. All that here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Well, we gave you our best. No, we gave you our worst. Yeah, we gave you our worst from the weekend earlier in the show. And we don't do this all the time, but we like to do it every now and then, especially on Mondays coming out of the weekend. Best and worst in sports from this weekend. Give us a call, shoot us a text, 334-784-1067. That's the text number. All right, that's the text box number, 334-784-1067. Or you could give us a call at 334-321-1390. Our worst from the weekend, mine was that the USA basketball team almost losing to JT Thor over the weekend, and they are currently playing Germany, so you can go keep up with that if you want to. That was my worst from the weekend. Yours was
just the continued chaos in college football, ACC.
Oh yeah, the ACC, that's
come
right
out and talk about lawsuits to start off ACC media days. The rumor over the weekend that Clemson and FSU were beginning to take a hard look at joining the Big 12, mm-hmm. which I can't blame them. I mean, it'd be an easier pathway for them, and
sure,
and just the upheaval in college football, it continues.
What's the best thing that you saw in sports this weekend? I've got mine, but go ahead and give me yours.
Yeah, without a doubt, for me, it was when Xander Schauffele walked off the 18th hole at the Open Championship, when he won the PGA. His father, who often takes a lot of brunt of the criticism of some of Xander's past failures, but that's a different story for a different day, was not there. He was in Hawaii. The whole family was there. And, man, seeing his dad just get so choked up, mm-hmm. and so proud of him, you know, good for Xander Schauffele. He has really toughened up his game. His mental game, you know, he kept getting close, and didn't fade away, worked to get tougher, worked to get more mentally tough. The last four holes, we talked about it at break, he was just throwing darts. He was putting the ball exactly where it needed to be in those course conditions. In any open championship, especially off the tee box, you can get into trouble real quick and cost yourself many strokes. Not today. Xander handles business, and his dad was there cheering him on, and seeing him crying at the end of that, man, that really touched me.
Yeah, that was my best thing from the weekend, was Xander winning the Open. Because, look, this is an American who has been at the top of the game for a long time, but has been harshly criticized by a lot for not getting the job done, right? He's had mm-hmm. tons and tons of top fives and top tens. And I mean, look at what he did in the first few tournaments of the season. He played in the Century, top 10, player tied for 10th. He played in the American Express tournament, tied for 3rd. Farmers, tied for 9th. The Genesis, tied for 4th. The Players, tied for 2nd. Valspar, tied for 5th, right? It's a guy that's always there near the top of the leaderboard on Sunday, just couldn't quite get it done. In the first major of the year in the Masters, he got 8th, right? He was there at the end and just couldn't quite deliver on Sunday. And then he got his first major win this season back in May at the PGA Championship at Valhalla, right? A guy that shot 62, back-to-back 68s, and then 65. So he got his first major championship win. He then goes to the U.S. Open. All he does is get another top 10 finish. And then in the Open over the weekend, he won as well, thanks to a couple of guys in front of him not playing well over the weekend and him playing well over the weekend. That includes my guy, Scottie Scheffler, who was there. He was 3 back going into Sunday, but man, he just can't get that flat stick going for him at times. And that's pretty much when he loses, is when he can't
well,
putt.
Yeah, it looked like he was kind of dealing with a back injury as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that last shot on 18 was
bad. I've had that happen on a golf course, especially when you're trying to hit like a driving iron or a long iron off a tee box, and you kind of just stab it into the ground right behind the ball, trying to hit a little punch shot or trying to hit something, a low shot, a low riser out of the wind, and it just, the club sticks and your body keeps moving, but your hands stay with the club, and it really tweaks your back in a bad situation. So hopefully he's not too hurt. And you have to begin to debate a little, at least, is Xander Schauffele going to get some love for player of the year when it just looked like at the beginning of the season it was all Scottie Scheffler? Schauffele has really turned it on, and we'll see how the rest of this looks, but he is playing just some very confident and strategic golf right now.
In the four majors this year, he has finished top 10, including two wins. Like, how could you not at least consider this guy for one of the best players in the world? And you mentioned this earlier, the Americans have swept all four majors between him and a couple of other guys. They swept the majors.
Yeah, it was Scheffler.
Scotty, and then
Xander twice, and Bryson DeChambeau for the U.S. Open. Mm. So, you know, wow. Look at America golf, man.
Yeah, I love it. And a couple of these guys are going to be playing in the Olympics coming up in just a few weeks, right? I forget exactly who it is. I'm going to look it up real quick.
I know, because it's not Bryson DeChambeau, and that still kind of bothers me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's playing really good for a lot of it. He's playing really good. I mean, you got the Americans. You have for the men, and I had this the other day, but you have Scotty, Xander, Wyndham Clark, and Colin Morikawa are the guys that are going to represent Team USA.
So when does that start?
August 1st through 4th is the golf part of the Olympics.
We'll see. I mean, I wonder if Scheffler is a little banged up.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
Think about that. And if he
I wonder had, who, like, they've got to have an alternate or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. If he withdraws, don't you think you got to go to DeChambeau?
I wonder who they are taking as.
I sure would.
I was trying to see if I could find it real quick. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's somebody that's going if him or anybody else can't play. That's a pretty good stacked team. Wyndham Clark is up there with look, people may not recognize that as much. I mean, he's a top 10 player in the world, so I mean he's a pretty good representative. But you gotta think a lot of big names too, like Rory and guys like that, Justin Rose, who was competing this weekend to be an Open champ, like they don't represent the United States. And so that's where the basketball team falls into a lot of. I mean, Nikola Jokic doesn't play for the United States. Right. Wembanyama's playing for France. I mean, you got guys like that
JT play. Thor playing for the South Sudan.
I mean, he's the best in the league, obviously. I mean, he almost single-handedly beat the United States.
Wouldn't have that just been so Jabba? If just America being America with JT Thor. The former Auburn graduate. Leave it to an Auburn grad to take down the country.
Oh,
I guess he's not a grad.
I was about to say, I don't think he graduated, but former Auburn player.
He was an impressive first-year guy, but he had just come back that second year.
I know. It was so hard for him to turn it down, though. He got drafted, got paid. He's doing big things. Good for him. Good for JT Thor. Moral of the story, good for JT Thor. We got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We got something fun coming up for you next. Stay tuned. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
On the Line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins with you on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7. A reminder that hour number two each and every day is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. So check them out at theorthoclinic.com. And Uncle T-Bone, I'm going to let you take the reins on this one, my man, because you are the one who has put this all together. You orchestrated this. You crunched the numbers. You worked on this real hard, man. We're really excited to have this going into this upcoming college football season. And so tell the people what we've got going on here at ESPN 106.7 this fall.
Yeah, it kind of occurred to me last year. I think I was on a show with you, and we're kind of waiting for the polls to drop and talk about it. And I was like, you know, there's just as many intelligent and talented local media folks and people who follow football here in East Central Alabama as there is on ESPN. I mean, I fully believe that, especially after listening to Kirk Herbstreit last year.
I mean, so, even Ben Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, and Ben's involved, so y'all can sign up. And I was like, let's put together some type of local ESPN weekly college football poll. And let's just do a top 20 like the good old days. And so over at my I got a lot of people to agree who are fantastic sports talk people and sports folks in the local area to be pollsters. I am one. I got Doug Amos to join us, Jack Hudden, Jacob Goins, Ben Taylor, Steve Whitten, and a celebrity guest picker this fall, Travis Wisdom from the Wisdom Firm LLC, a proud partner of us over at ESPN 106.7. And so I was like, hey, y'all mail me your top 20 on my blog where I write during football season, radiofreeauburn.com. We're going to have the ESPN 106.7 college football top 20, and we dropped the preseason poll.
Boom.
This morning. It will drop every Monday morning as the season continues. Next poll will drop August 25th. Remember, there's an early game, Florida State and Georgia Tech. Could there be a shakeup in the polls week one if Georgia Tech makes an upset? So you can check it out in the blog section over at radiofreeauburn.com. And I really appreciate everyone participating. Please, there's no cost to my website. There's no subscription. It's all free. Discuss it, cuss it, share it, participate, please, whatever you want to do with it. I appreciate everyone who agreed to be pollsters. And it was really interesting getting everyone's individual polls. I will not release them. If you want to talk about your individual poll, that's fine. I will not release your picks until the very last poll of the season, and then we will release that one if we have to discuss if there's any kind of debate who's going, probably the week before the playoffs are set.
Okay? Yeah, well.
This is just, and I'm with you, I think this poll is just a preseason poll. It has nothing to do with order or finish for me. There are no parameters on how you pick. Just give me 20 teams. Doug Amos gave me 25, which was cool, so I added those teams into others that receive votes. But it was really interesting seeing some of the trends with all the numbers. I can see how my good friend Jack Hudden gets analytical about this, and you start kind of putting all those numbers together.
He's a nerd.
And yeah, I'm not going to go as far to say that that's for me, but anyway, it was interesting. And it's out, man. The poll is out, brought to you by our good friend Travis Wisdom at the Wisdom Firm LLC, radiofreeauburn.com, the ESPN 106.7 local college football poll. And guess who's number one, everyone?
Yeah.
Real shocker. Georgia and the Dogs are barking on top of the 2024 College Football World Preseason.
Well, it's no shocker, right? And so we took our polls and it's combined. You chug in the numbers and, and average it out and do a whole bunch of crazy math that I don't understand. But yeah, Georgia sitting at number one. And again, you said it and I prefaced this earlier, and this is how I believe a preseason poll to be. Not everybody agrees with this, but this is how I see it. A preseason poll is what you believe it is right now in the preseason. What we did last week in Dallas at SEC Media Days, that's a predicted order of finish. That's different.
Okay.
This is a preseason poll as of right now in the preseason, end of July, heading into August, heading into week zero. This is how I rank the teams 1 through 20. That's how I see it. And so with our combined ranking, that's how I look at it. Because how can you How can you predict what's really going to happen when nothing, you have nothing to base it off of? It's really tough to do
that.
Well,
I mean, you do have a little bit. I mean,
you have returning players.
Yeah, and who's, you know, especially at key positions like quarterback. But I'm with you, and you know, I think there's going to be a couple of things this season that we've never seen before in college football. I think there's going to be a couple of very strange teams end up in the college football playoff that you had no idea would be there, like, or even guessed would be there. I'm not saying this is the team, but a team like Cincinnati or – you know, I could see a team like South Florida losing only to Alabama and somehow slipping in. I mean, that is a good little team. There's a team out west in Fresno State, although their coach, Jeff Tedford, unfortunately just resigned due to health reasons. That is a salty, salty team. And so you're going to see some fresh faces in this thing this season, which I'm really excited about. But if you take a look at the ESPN 106.7 poll, you'll see that there's a lot of familiar faces.
Yes, there are. So we're going through this, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right, cool. So Georgia 1, Ohio State at 2, Texas 3, Oregon 4, and Alabama 5. We're going to stop right there for now.
Yep.
All right, Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Texas 3, Oregon 4, and Alabama at 5. So you're looking at SEC, Big 10, SEC, Big 10, and SEC. And Big 10 after that, SEC continues all the way through, all the way through,
I mean,
7 if you actually look at it.
They are by far the best two conferences in college football, without a doubt, fact.
And if Notre Dame actually competed in a conference, they'd be in that list too.
Yeah, so. That Ohio State team.
They're nasty, Jacob. Man. They're nasty.
They may have more talent than anybody in college football, including Georgia.
Fun fact, just a complete random side note. Do you remember who their quarterback was a year ago, Kyle McCord? Do you know where he is now? Do you remember where he transferred? I didn't remember this until I saw it in the college football video game. He transferred to Syracuse.
What an odd place to go.
Right? He went from Ohio State as a mid-quarterback and said, you know what? Let's go to upstate New York. Now, I will admit, I don't know if he's from that area or not. I don't think he is. But, yeah, I saw that the other day, and I was like, wow, how about that? Old Ohio State quarterback playing for the Orange.
Speaking of being a nerd. How do you know who the starting QB at Syracuse is?
That's knowledge right there, baby. That's knowledge. No, you're right, though. Ohio State, you have it written right here. Perhaps the nation's most talented roster. And you're probably right.
It is ridiculous how much talent they got. Travis Wisdom sent me a text and said, you know, he had some descriptions on some of these teams. And Caleb Downs, he said, without a fact, is the all-time transfer in the portal so far. Can you name a bigger name in the transfer portal or talent than Caleb Downs yet? It's hard to, but you might can. It's Quinshon
Judkins,
who left Ole Miss
to go up to
Ohio State and join with Trayvon Henderson, who may be the number one tailback in the country. You talk about a 1-2 punch, Jacob Goins.
But the question becomes, and what has been with Ohio State, what's the question mark?
Can they beat Michigan?
Their
play calling has been fairly brutal.
And I put that on Ryan Day.
Absolutely. That's why he's taking a step back from it and turning over to Chip Kelly, the former UCLA coach. You know, I don't know if I'm a true believer in a Chip Kelly-type spread offense anymore. What are they going to run? He kind of seems to me from, you know, yesterday's wine with Gus Malzahn and the Gus Morses of the world.
Chad Morses. Ohio State 2, Texas 3. I think that's fair. Oregon at 4, man. People continue to
get a lot of love.
Yeah, they continue to get love. There ain't no doubt. I think they're going to be probably the second best team in the Big Ten, which is where we have them in the poll as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alabama at 5. And, you know, I think that's fair based off
Heck
of just
yeah,
their roster.
Fair.
Just the roster alone, they're a really talented team. DeBoer's a really good coach, and he brought a lot of his guys with him. Will it all mesh? Will it gel? I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, you hope as a rival fan that it doesn't mesh early, and it's a little chippy on the airwaves, and Alabama fans get a little uncomfortable and kind of start feeling the heat up there.
Mm-hmm.
Kalen DeBoer's a heck of a good coach.
He's a really, really good coach.
And that staff is solid. I still have some questions on the defensive coordinator, Kane Womack. I'm not so certain that you replace one of the greatest defensive minds of all time with Nick Saban, and all of a sudden Kane Womack steps in and he's your answer. I mean, this was guys coaching at South Alabama. He has a fantastic reputation. The roster's lost a lot in the portal, but they gained a lot back. You know, they're going to have plenty of talent. Jalen Milroe is a fantastic quarterback and athlete. My question about him, though, is if he cannot master some of these shorter passes with touch, that offense that Michael Penix spun so well will not spin in Alabama as well as it did last year at Washington, and they're going to have that offense.
I think the SEC defenses are going to have a field day on what Alabama's going to try and do offensively. If they don't change it up, I think they're going to have a field day.
How do you change it up, though? I mean, you turn Milroe loose and let him run? You can see when he's put under pressure, while still to this day, I don't know Auburn didn't put pressure on 4th and 31, he was falling apart like Enron stock, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he was putting the ball down on the turf. He was looking, he didn't know where to go with it. You let him sit back in a comfortable pocket, and he's going to throw one of the prettiest deep balls like a howitzer you've ever seen. It's those short passes under stress. I've seen him throw some passes to running backs that were brutal.
Yeah. How many people again do we have in our ESPN?
There's seven of us right now. And you know, we might have a couple of extra special guests pop in front. You know, keep this thing fresh, keep it live. I've got some names. I had some people reach out, disappointed they weren't allowed to be in the initial poll. I say we build this thing up and just turn it hog wild on ESPN and have about 50. Hey, we'll have better than 50% than y'all had out at SEC
media days. You better believe that. We'll have to see if we can make that happen at ESPNAU.com. But again, we are running through the top 20 from our ESPN talent here and some others around the Auburn network. A combined list with all the numbers crunched, here's what we got again. Michigan at 6, the national champions. Ole Miss at 7, Notre Dame at 8, Missouri at 9, and Penn State at 10.
Jumps out to me immediately, Michigan, probably a little bit higher than in most polls, skewed in this poll because I have them number one. Look, folks, I don't care what you say to me. They're number one until somebody beats them. They're going to get beat after week two by Texas.
I think Texas goes up there and has a field day. Notre Dame at 8, Missouri 9, Penn State 10. I said that. Penn State, I just don't know, man. I'm checked out on them. I'm checked out on Penn State. I'm checked out on James Franklin. It's just, it ain't happening. He's going to win his 8 or 9 games. He's going to lose to the big boys, and Penn State will be probably on the outside looking in, maybe the final addition to the college football playoff, maybe.
They just keep continuing to hover right there around that 10 spot year in, year
they're
out.
They're
going to
beat up on the Nebraskas and Rutgers of the world, but they can't beat Ohio State and Michigan.
And those programs are getting better.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And they struggle with Michigan. They struggle with Ohio State. You add teams like Oregon and Washington into the mix. Penn State should be the program out of all the programs out there that have not been in the college football playoff or BCS championship, the one program that benefits the most from the expansion. Can they get in there this year?
I agree with that. Utah at 11, Florida State at 12, Clemson at 13, the Fighting Steve Wittens, Miami of Florida at 14, Tennessee at 15. I'm kind of looking through there. I mean, you've got three ACC teams back to back to back, Florida State, Clemson, and Miami at 12, 13, and 14, and then Tennessee to get it there at 15. LSU is at 16, Oklahoma State 17, Kansas State at 18, Arizona at 19, and to round out the ESPN 106.7 top 20 preseason poll, the Jayhawks of Kansas right there at number 20.
Yeah, no longer dust in the wind. Jayhawks play an aggressive style of football for head coach Lance Leopold. How long will he be at Kansas? That guy's a really good coach. You really see the differential in the two big boys in college football regarding conferences and the two little brothers in the ACC and Big 12. The best teams of those conferences really make up the back half of this ESPN 106.7 top 20 poll, while the best teams in the SEC and Big 10 make up the front half.
Any teams that jump out to you in this poll? Because again, these are all of our seven polls combined with the numbers and the mathematics here. So this is not what everybody had personally. This is just what it all comes together and looks like. I mean, the fact that LSU sitting right there at 16, they've got room to grow. They've got room to grow.
You know, I was really kind of surprised to see Arizona jump into the top 20. They've been really in everybody's top 25. That's a dangerous team. By the end of last season, that was a team like Missouri you did not want to play. Got their returning quarterback, Noah Fifita, back. That guy can freaking play, Jacob Goins. He can play, man. So them and Utah coming into the Big 12, I think, are going to do some serious damage. I think everyone on earth should take a really hard look at number 11. That's the Utah Utes. They're going to get Cam Rising back. I have him as a dark horse Heisman candidate as long as he stays healthy. He is an excellent quarterback. Kyle Whittingham is one of the most consistent coaches in college football. I really, truly believe that's the one team out of the Big 12 that you can circle that is in the college football playoffs by the end of season.
We're about to get to break, but man, I feel like before the season kicks off, I feel like we need to take like 30 minutes of this show and just read through the Power Four conferences and remind everybody which teams are where.
That's because a great idea.
You just talked about Arizona and Utah, and it's like, oh yeah, right? Everybody's moved around. You've got Colorado back in the Big 12. You've got Cal playing in the ACC. Oregon's in the Big 10. Like, you've got all kinds of craziness moving around. I think we need to take 30 minutes at some point in the next couple of weeks and just remind everybody and ourselves where all these new teams are in their new college football conferences.
Yep, that's a great idea. Well, I appreciate the shout-out on the poll. Check it out at RadioFreeAuburn.com. We'll be talking a little RadioFreeAuburn.com this year as a sponsor of Game Day on Wings, 94.3 FM. It's a lot of fun. Share the poll. Discuss it. Hey, text us your top 20. We'll read it out loud, possibly, if we can get to it.
Yeah, 334-784-1067. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
As we wind down here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Man, it's been a great show. It's been so good to be back in the studio. It feels like it's been a month since I've been in here, but it was only a week. I mean, but it's been crazy, but glad to be back from Dallas. Glad to be back in the studio. And, Uncle T-Bone, we had a great show today, my man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. Got the new ESPN poll out. Look for that every week during football season. Talked some recruiting, best and worst. I mean, heck, what else can we talk about?
I'm telling you. Well, let's preview what we have coming up for the rest of the week, all right? Tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Tomorrow. I got to double check, but pretty sure we're back with Lindsey Crosby for Baseball Power Hour. We'll get caught up on everything happening in Major League Baseball, including the Atlanta Braves, who cannot stay away from the injury bug. They've got another major injury, two of them, actually, that are impacting that roster right now, one pitching and one hitting. So I'll confirm with that, but hopefully getting him back tomorrow. We'll also have Double D, Daryl Dapperge, with us on the phone lines. Wednesday, got confirmation. Christian Clemente will be in from Auburn 247. A perfect time to preview from Big Cat Weekend coming up this weekend. Nobody better than that guy from Auburn Undercover. He'll join us Wednesday afternoon to preview everything that you can expect from Big Cat Weekend. Thursday will be Chris Gordy from Locked On SEC, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. And on Friday, Jumpin' Jack Hutton's going to join us in the studio. We did this a year ago and excited to do it again. We're going to have our Auburn football team draft here on ESPN 106.7. So we're all going to sit down. We're going to take the roster. We'll randomize who gets to pick first, second, third. And you, me, and Jack are going to pick our Auburn football rosters for 2024.
I'll take Towns McBoom with my first pick.
Yeah.
Love that kid. Hey, he might get to play more. Mystery illness with Alex McPherson. Hey, and also good news from the Brian Batiste situation over the weekend. That might have been, should have been our best. And sorry we haven't mentioned this yet. Taking his first steps out of his wheelchair since being shot months ago.
Yeah, was and, able to walk with it, take a few steps with a cane this weekend.
The fact that he got out of ICU was a miracle.
The fact that he survived is a miracle.
Fighting for his life from the moment it happened and continues to fight for his life. So keep the Batiste family in your prayers. And, man, keep fighting, Brian. Everyone here in Auburn's pulling for you.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. We're with him and his family. It's and thankful for them for just continuing to give updates as well with that whole situation. So, so that's what's coming up the rest of the week. It's going to be a busy one here on ESPN 106.7. Between 2 and 4, this is where you want to be. I'm telling you. And we got 7 straight hours of it between Doug and the Max Roundtable, us during On the Line, and Bill and Dan for the drive. Ain't nobody doing it like we are. I promise you that. Going to be a busy week here on the show. And then, look, we're 40 days away. Uncle T-Bone, we're 40 days away from Auburn football starting the season. Sooner than that for week 0. Sooner than that for high school football.
Jacob, when you're on the air tomorrow, it'll be 39. Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
Can you feel it? Yes, I can. Well, look, we appreciate everybody tuning in today from 2 to 4 last week as well. And thankful to all of our wonderful sponsors for that and tuning in today and each and every day between 2 and 4 right here on ESPN 106.7. As I said, getting confirmation. Hopefully, Lindsey Crosby is with us tomorrow for Baseball Power Hour. I know Daryl Dappert is with us from Locked On Auburn. Double D will have some things to say coming out of SEC Media Days. Christian Clemente on Wednesday. Chris Gordy Thursday, me, Uncle T, and Jumpin' Jack on Friday. So, got a busy week, man. Does it get better than that? I don't think
so. Hey, nobody's working harder and nobody's having this much fun.
That's right. Hey, we'll see you on Friday, Uncle T-Bone, yep. But I will be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.